Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to HubNet News.
HubNet News. Welcome, welcome. How's it going?
Going beautiful. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. So blessed and highly favored. You know, regardless of what kind of craziness is going on in our country, we here on HubNet News to report and discuss and just kind of break it down topics that you may not hear elsewhere. And we're not mainstream. We're not going to talk mainstream. We're going to touch on that, but the stories is in your town or in your city. If you listen in, call in. If you call in, or we're recording. If you can call in and let us know what's going on. Inbox us, let us know what's going on. We'll touch on it and do the research and find out what's going on in your city and town.
Yep, yep, yep. You can always hit our social media at HubNet Online Network on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and bring your stories to the table. We'll be happy to discuss them with you, talk to you about them, and we'll add them to the show for the next week.
Good evening.
Hey, hey, welcome, Brother Darius.
Hey. Yeah, can I report on some breaking news before y'all start?
Hold on. Before you do that, let's welcome Pastor Dante to the show. How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up, sir? What's up? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Sir.
Okay. So
good to be here.
That's what's up. All right, so Brother Darius has a breaking news for us. Let it rip.
Okay. I'm probably sure y'all probably seen it, but in case you have not, the prosecutors are considering charging Michael Cohen at the end of the month.
Yes, I did see that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The foundation
and
is starting to crumble.
I haven't seen that. How much time is he getting?
They have not. They said the prosecutors are thinking about charging Cohen. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything about charges as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw that. I saw that flashing on the CNN. So I'm pretty sure they're gonna probably have more tomorrow.
Well, that means it's time to start getting his me. Time to start singing, bro.
That's right. Hey.
Get his vote. Get his paparazzi on.
Nice ship start.
Right? Man,
yes,
oh, man. I tell you.
Yeah, that's something else. Hey, you know, I was just looking over some stuff, and what I found was this Texas doctor will not serve jail time for raping a patient in her hospital room in 2013. It says a Houston doctor was convicted of raping a patient in her hospital bed while she was sedated, was sentenced to 10 years probation, but no jail time. Dr. Sharik Sheikh, an internal medicine resident who was on call at Ben's Taub Hospital that night, was charged with assault in 2015. His license was revoked and everything, and a jury of 7 men and 5 women found him guilty of rape. They also determined that he will not go to prison. He will have to register as a sex offender for life. In my opinion, I believe he should have gotten jail time. He should spend at least 10 years in jail. I mean, you know, you take on the practice of saving people's lives, not ruining people's lives. And the mere fact that you rape a woman when she's sedated, I mean, you're the biggest predator, the biggest monster, the biggest form of Satan that I can even think of. You know, you're a demon in training if you can sit there and do some crazy stuff like that. I mean, you know, I don't know what to even say about that. But it says that the assault took place in 2013 when the victim was at the hospital after having an asthma attack. I mean, good Lord.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Justice system at its worst.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that story really, really bothers me. And these guys were remorseless, absolutely remorseless.
Yes. You know what? What's done in the dark always comes to the light. Always comes in.
But
you know.
There's supposed to be some type of. You know, you got people in jail, and I don't even want to know what his nationality is. We got people in jail who've done far less than that. That's serving life.
Exactly.
You know, that's crazy.
That's right.
And that happened in Houston, Texas. Wow.
Wow. Yes, indeed.
Is a civil suit going to follow after that? They need to sue him for everything he got then.
I'm sure they will. I can almost guarantee that they will.
Yep.
I can almost guarantee that they will.
He's not going to live good. But as a sex offender, are you kidding me? That's crazy.
I would even go one further. If the lawyers are listening, sue the judge too. Let's make his life a little hard.
Right.
That's right. That's right. You know, because, I mean, at this stage of the game, I mean, you know, 10 years in probation is nothing. You know, he can still go out and do whatever he want to do and still, you know, live a life, but all he has to do is register for the sex offenders list. I mean, and he won.
Yeah.
He won, you know. It's something else. Amen.
Wow.
I was also looking here. It says in the U.S. today that a man was taking his wife to emergency. She was getting ready to have a baby, and they found out that he was wanted for murder in Mexico, so they detained him.
Mm-hmm.
It says a man detained by U.S. immigration officials while rushing his wife to a California hospital for the birth of their fifth child was wanted in Mexico on homicide charges. Joel Arona Laura, 36, was taken into custody Wednesday by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents at a gas station in San Bernardino. Surveillance videos from the station saw Arona Laura being taken away in handcuffs. The arrest set off the latest in a series of firestorms over the zero-tolerance immigration policies of President Donald Trump.
Yep.
Well, I got a lot to say about Omarosa, too, but...
Come on with it.
Yeah, give it to us, Brother Darius.
Let me tell y'all something about Omarosa. She learned a lot from that jerk, number 45 in the White House. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden she wants to say, oh, Trump is a racist now. Why didn't you say that years ago?
Exactly.
But she decided to give him the benefit of the doubt time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And then now she come out of a book and now Trump wants to sue her. Turnabout's fair play.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, she claims she got more than 200 tapes.
I said, we'll
see about that. I'm gonna be real curious about that because she's been on Trump's side for all these years. Now all of a sudden she got something against him.
Well, if this was 3 months ago, every time I would have said her name, I would have to brush my teeth. But right now, she is my favorite person in the world.
Yeah.
You know why? Because this man is twisting and turning. There's reports coming out that out of everybody, she is stressing him the hell out. It's gotten so bad that he called up Jeff Sessions and said, have her arrested.
Well, that's sad,
you know,
and poor.
That's because
Sessions.
He knows she knows something.
Yeah, that is why she's my favorite person in the world. And guess what? She's been to Bob Mueller. three times already. Verified by her attorney. NBC News went, because she was on NBC the other day, and they said, wait a minute, you met with Mahler. And the producers immediately called up her attorneys, and they gave her date, time, and location when she met with
them. Wow.
So the beauty of this thing is, here we have one of Trump's prime students, you could say, you know, in the world of filth and garbage, and she played the game, and she either walked into the White House when he became president with a recorder ready to go, or at some point something happened, and something that made her change her mind about things and start recording. Now, I personally believe she walked in there like, you know what, gravy train, because he going to act a fool. I'm going to record it, I'm going to turn against him, and I'm going to become a millionaire.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. And you think about it this way. The same forces that went up against Clinton, that the same forces that tried to go up against Trump, are the same forces that's putting her in place to do the same thing that they did to them. You know, record them, have a wire, whatever. It's a continual cycle. It never stops. It's somebody who wants to get stuff on these people, and they set people in place to do it.
Yep.
Well, and you know, prior to this happening, she was already having some problems there in the White House. She was up there. You know, she was keeping some black people from getting hired. She was causing some of the people that was working in there said she was acting like a bee and acting like she was, you know, doing the most. So she probably, I wouldn't put it past her. She's an opportunist. And she positioned herself as a friend of the family. Now the whole family's got, you know, she's been to their house and on vacations and stuff with them. Now the family is, you know, they don't like, you know, they mad at her because she ain't no telling how many recordings she got. She probably been planning to have something in the hole for a minute.
Over 200.
Yeah. And he's probably sitting up like, Lord, which ones did she cop? Which ones did she record? I know I would be nervous.
Guess what? She'd been on a media blitz tour from, I heard her on a Tom Joyner morning show where I live at. I seen her on MSNBC. I've seen her on CNN. Yep. I've seen her on CBS. I mean, I've never seen this much coverage from her in the last 5 years.
Well, because she had no reason to be. She had no reason to be out in public for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she had nothing to talk about. She was getting a cushy job because she was friends with the president, and he had her go out when it's time to start shucking and jiving to attract more black voters. So,
Now, I'm just waiting for her to drop the bomb that he sexually abused her and did something sexual with her, and all hell is going to break loose.
Not only that, it was okay for her to be against the black woman and the black man when it was all good. But now that she is in the fire, she wants everybody to now join in with her and sing Kumbaya. But that's not going to happen because look at how you treated your fellow people. Mm-hmm. You hurt people, you dog people, you stopped people from getting the blessings that was coming to them, all because you want to be sit there and be crazy and silly. So now that the fire now has hit your doorstep, now you want people to rally behind you, buy your book, and no, because you were not the person that we needed. What black person did you help pull up out the gutter? Nobody, except for yourself. You were only interested in you. So now that we all see it and know it, and then you think that we're going to rally behind you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. Well.
Nope.
I don't know if you guys caught it, either Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember which one. She did an interview around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, With Craig Meldon on MSNBC. And she released another tape. Now remember, let's think back. Who fired her? It was John Kelly. Now the reports that's been swirling around, remember John Kelly came in and he said, "That's it. I'm going to stop all these people having direct access to Trump." Mm-hmm. And he started taking away clearances from people. He started from Jared Kushner all the way up to Omarosa. She couldn't get a word with Trump directly. She had to go through Kelly.
Okay.
That pissed her off.
I saw that.
That pissed her off. Then she has evidence where he was literally talking Trump out of providing support to Puerto Rico.
What?
Wow. This four-star general that everybody loves. See, it's one thing when she's – we already know that she's a scumbag. But she was smart enough to say, I'm not going to write anything in my book that I cannot have verified. So when you – and she was on Al Sharpton's show this morning. And, of course, you know, she's running to her passion. Okay, so her church has you know opened their doors back up to her, and they're you know she ends every interview saying I'm backed up by faith, and I have a community of faith behind me, so forth and so on. And Al Sharpton confirmed that he did speak to her pastor, and he did say him and Omarosa had a you know didn't have a good relationship. They just mended it after she got that monkey off her back. Take that for what you will. But she said that she admitted that I have given him every opportunity and I have given him the benefit of the doubt even when it was against my own people. And when he became president, I seen some things that I didn't see before he became president. So let's fast forward a little bit. John Kelly fires her, sends her packing. And she does this interview where she says it's okay, you know, because this is just step one for me. So the interviewer like, well, what does that mean? So when it got back to Trump and the gang, it sounded like, okay, y'all want to do this for me? I got something for you. So she's home or wherever she is. She gets a phone call from Laura Trump, which is Trump's stepdaughter and one of his campaign managers for the Trump 2020 election. So she offers her, she says to her, well, when you were in the White House, you were making about $179,000. I think that what we can do is we can find you a nice little cushy job. You may come out for election season and, you know, speak on behalf. You don't have to do much. We don't care where you were. Think about it. They agreed to pay her about $180,000. And she figured it out to be $15,000 a month. They didn't care where she worked. They didn't care what city. They didn't tell her she had to do anything. All they asked her to do is stay quiet. And they had her on, and she had the chick on tape.
Oh, shoot, you lying.
Had the chick on tape. That was the biggest story. And just think about it. Trump is terrified. It had to have been Tuesday because he's been sitting on information about this judge that they've been waiting, you know, when he's trying to get the Supreme Court. They've been waiting for him to make this announcement or whatever. He held on to it for over a week. But the day her book comes out, he tried to throw it out there to try to bury the lead. There is no story bigger than Omarosa, not in just America, in the entire world. The entire world is hearing how you can't say she was a nobody. When they brought up Paul Manafort, you saw what they thought. Oh, he was just a guy. He worked with us for long. You know, he was a campaign manager, but he was nobody. When they brought up the Scott Page, oh, he was a coffee boy. You cannot say a woman you've given two shows to, been on three of your other shows, and made a high aide in your cabinet. You can't say she was a nobody. She knows where some bodies are buried, I'm sure. So, I mean, that's why Omarosa is my favorite person in the world, because right now he is pulling that orange hair out. You know, and the worst part is she even confirmed what many of us knew. Remember, was it last week or the week before? I talked about the only black person that was left in the White House was the I can't remember her name, but she was the black sister who was in charge of the ushers or stuff, and she served.
Yeah, they fired her.
2011. Yeah, they fired her, which she was the last working black person in the White House. Well, Omarosa dropped that bomb. Said, well, she was fired because Trump didn't like the way that his tanning beds were set up in the morning.
Oh, my
his
God.
What? His
he
what?
Did not like the way that she had his tanning beds set up in the morning. And Omarosa confirmed that he literally fired her for nothing. He never liked her. He barely got to see
I'm
her.
I'm sorry.
But he found
he didn't
a
like the way
fire
he,
her.
I'm sorry. He didn't like the way his what?
He has a room where his tanning beds. Or he just he gets in a tanning bed every day.
Oh,
that's
tanning. Tanning beds. Okay.
Yeah, tanning.
Okay,
tanning.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he didn't like the way that this lady had her team set it up, so he fired
her. What?
Wow.
Yep.
Oh. My message is please vote in these midterms. Please.
Yeah. So
I'm already going.
Yeah, you're right, man.
I'm
yes,
voting
indeed.
Early.
I mean,
you know, and it's important that we tell our people, you know, and teach our people that it's time to vote, because a lot of us think, oh, that the vote don't mean nothing. My vote don't count. But it really does. And, you know, and for these younger generation, they don't have no desire to do anything, you know, but we have to somehow get them involved in this. I don't know what to do. We've done everything that we can do. We've hosted voting parties, all type of stuff, and they still they'll come and eat your food up and have a good time, but then when it's time to go vote, they're I got to go to work, or I got to do this, I got to do that. Yeah, but you spent the whole time just, you know, and I don't know. I don't know. It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
So. I heard a group of kids talk about voting these days. You know, voting and you know, it's like, you know, it is not. It's old school. Like, you know, don't nobody vote no more. Like, it was the use.
You know what? I don't know who the kids were, but
I said I guess they need to pay attention to the elections lately.
Yeah.
If they
looked at them special elections, some of them majority went to a Democrat, but the one here in Ohio, it came down to some 500-600 votes.
Yeah,
in a district in Columbus, and they're going to have a rematch, the two candidates in November. In November, because it was so close. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
if you want at least 5% Sandy back, I still believe in my heart that there's going to be people across this country that's going to be voting. There's going to be a record amount. I just get that feeling it's coming because they're tired.
Here's my thing, though. Where are all the people that voted the two terms for Barack Obama?
They went.
I mean,
a good portion of them were Republicans. And they went back to the Republican Party for Trump.
Mm.
That's how he took
Pennsylvania.
Because what happened was Obama came in and took the Republicans that voted for George Bush, who were tired of the wars and tired of the looting of the Treasury, and went with the message of hope, which was Barack Obama, and they stayed with him for two terms. And when it was time for him to leave, they didn't trust Hillary, so they decided to go with Trump because he came with this nationalist message. Let's make America first, make America great. So if you are a person who has this love of this country, that patriotic, so to speak, you're going to follow that message. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you have any little bit of racism in your heart, you're going to follow that message too.
Right. Yeah, I see your point. I definitely see a point.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but, you know, and even with that, the, you know, even the black vote was very high during that time, too. And, you know, even just with them, this, you know, what happened to them, you know, because they came out, too, you know, and I just don't know, you know, if they just say, OK, forget it after Barack is gone. OK, forget it, whatever is whatever. But, you know, it has to continue. That vote has to continue. You know, I don't know. I just, it boggles my mind.
Well, you know, a lot of black folks did come out. And, you know, it contributed to that because she slaughtered them in a popular vote. But the problem is, when you look at the Electoral College and where they're located, they're usually centralized, you know. Think about it. The Electoral College is supposed to come out on their porch, look to the left, look to the right, look front to back, and say, okay, we're going to either go on our own or decide to go with the people in our electorate. What did they decide to do? They're supposed to, you know, some states have it to where it's mandatory for the Electoral College guy supposed to come out in Dayton, take a look around, and say, well, everybody in this populace voted for Hillary, so I got to follow them. Where there's other parts of the state that you got autonomy. You can say, I don't care what y'all said, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be changed ASAP. Because, you know, it's scary that a small fraction of our population can change an election.
Mm-hmm.
That is scary.
It really is.
But they're always in the lily white communities these people are sitting. So either way, we're screwed. You know, it has to be overwhelming, and it can't just be certain types of people. You know, it has to be people across the board, whether you're blue collar, white collar, whatever. You know, people of faith. You know, you got to reach everybody to get these guys out of here, man.
Amen. Now, you know, piggybacking on what I just spoke about, listen to this one. Airline passenger convicted of sexually abusing a woman on a plane, right? Now, Michelle, you just mentioned something about this. It says, a man accused of undressing and fondling a spirit airline passenger.
Oh, man, that was my story.
What?
God darn it. I was letting y'all speak because I was about to bring this story to you. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you do it. I'll let you do it. Go ahead.
Man, this flight attendant, first of all, is doing nothing about Delta and American United Airlines have women falling asleep on the plane on several occasions. There was one that was flying to Detroit. This dude here, they deporting him back to his country. He's getting ready to get life in prison. He stuck his hand down our pants. And my whole thing is, you in the air, and the flight attendants can't do nothing for you. You had to still stay on the plane with the person. You had to still sit a row or two back because the plane is full. And who's going to sit next to this, you know, probably a pedophile or a rapist? You know, those commercial flights fly everyone. Everybody from rapists to pedophiles, you don't know who you're on the plane falling asleep next to. It's ridiculous. They got lawsuits, and so they got recordings where United Airlines offered her 10,000 freaking miles and trying to keep them, you know, hush hush or whatever. They all got law. They went and got attorneys, and them two girls, that 22-year-old, he stuck his hand in there in her bra. I mean, that's just you right next to the dude. But it makes perfect sense because if you was on a bus or if you was on a, you know, like a public bus stop or somewhere in the public, because planes are public, as though it's confined, you can't be falling asleep next to no stranger. You don't know who you're falling asleep next to.
That's right. That is so true.
It's crazy.
If I'm not sitting next to my wife and I'm on a plane, I'm not going to sleep. You know, because I know at least, you know, she going to make sure everything is good. But I would not fall asleep to next to a stranger, and because again, you like you said, you never know what they may do, you know, and you don't know who it is. So how can you be so comfortable in front of a stranger to fall asleep?
Wow. Some people, I just, you know, I see them all the time. They bring their blankets and their pillows. They Target. I know I can't fall asleep on no plane because I'd be too nervous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. But to fall asleep, I was for that. Don't you know that whole plane would be towed up? it'd be rocking and rolling. You grab me at my crotch while I'm asleep. We about to tear that airplane up. You hear me? Oh, no. Feel like Michelle is on the news.
50,000 feet in the air.
Baby, I'll pick them out, come up out them hills. It's going down. You done lost your mind putting your hands on. And one of the ladies that's got a lawsuit with Delta, she's black. She's like, oh, my God. He's like, grab my crotch. I'm like, these perverts are sick.
So dude was on his way to go do some serious time, and he started doing a Donald Trump, grabbing about a goodie.
Yeah, well,
he figured I ain't going to get another chance to grab some goodies.
And their complaint is, one of the girls said, the flight attendant asked her, well, what you want us to do? The other lady said, oh, the flight attendant said, oh, don't worry about him. He's a frequent flyer. And kept on serving him drinks.
Donald Trump Airlines.
No. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Trump He's airline. A major airline.
Grab your goodies.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Grab about a goodie.
Yeah. Exactly. Just
well,
this is everything, you know, this is my thing. And this is really, it really gets to me sometimes. A lot of times, it's like everything we do in this world now. I don't remember this as a young person, but from cartoons to the news, to flying on a plane, going to the beach, you know, just general stuff. Everything now, it seems like, is so sexual.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like church. I'm not even going to get into the story about what they're talking about. All these Catholic priests getting away with molesting kids.
Yeah,
that's
next. Sick.
That's my story. I got a whole
come on
report
with
here.
Because that just sickens me. Go ahead. Come on with it.
This is, you know, yeah. In Pennsylvania, a grand jury report has revealed that 300 Catholic priests sexually abused 1,000 children. And previously, thousands, possibly thousands more over the last 7 decades, and that the church leadership covered up the abuse. So on Tuesday, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro described harrowing accounts of priests raping young girls and boys, including one priest who raped a young girl in the hospital after she had her tonsils out. Another priest impregnated a girl and then arranged for her to have an abortion. The report reveals that the church orchestrated a massive systematic cover-up to conceal the abuse, including lying to the community about why the priest was removed from a parish, transferring predator priests rather than firing them and locking abuse complaints away in what the church called the secret archives. So that's what we're dealing with. 300 rogue pastor priests.
Oh,
I mean, we're talking Pittsburgh. We're talking Philly. I mean, man, it's heartbreaking.
And it's you know, it's Pittsburgh, it's Philly, it's Detroit, it's Ohio, it's Texas, it's everywhere. And, you know, it saddens me to hear that. And I just find that, I mean, if I were a priest, and I will say that when I first started out in ministry, I found myself wanting to be a priest because I wanted to give my all in all to God. But to God be the glory that, you know, He showed me a different path. But what I will say is this: you know, if I were a priest, and I understand the priesthood, I understand all of that. If that's the case, go out and just find you a wife and say, you know, Father, I can't do this. I love you, but I need to find me a wife. Find your wife and get married. God will bless it. So you don't have to mess with, you don't have to mess up the lives of these children. That is a lifelong. It's a damaging effect, and it doesn't. It's not just right then. It goes for the rest of their lives. So why would you hurt a child? But I can also say this too. You know, I'll tell you guys offline about that. I won't mention it here, but it is damaging. And I believe that, you know, woe unto him that hurts a child. Woe unto him that hurts a child. Especially a so-called priest. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You are not only damning your soul to hell, but when you get there, they're gonna be waiting for you. Like I just spoke about the lions, they're gonna be waiting for you just because you call yourself a priest. Them demons in hell are gonna be waiting to feast on your body, and you know what? It is well deserved.
My thing is,
Pastor Dante, how does the church continue to allow this has been going on years, long before I was born. Years of the Catholic Church turning their you let me or you molest a kid out here, you know, just like Joe Blow, and we up under the priest.
Well, I got a better one for you.
Where's Jeff Sessions? Where's the Attorney General at on that?
I got a better one for you. What do you think about all the nuns that were raped by a priest?
And
killed, and it was covered up.
Yep.
I didn't even know that happened.
It happens all the time.
Why are the priests killing the nuns?
Well, because they don't want them to. If they tell, they lose everything that they have.
Yep.
So I'm going to keep her quiet. Yeah. Everything that happens within the Catholic Church stays in. What do you think they got that? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in the Catholic Church stays in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
What do you think runs America?
What do you think?
They run America. They run everything. When the Bible speaks about there were diamonds in Africa, why do you think they came up with that charity medicine?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they were doing? The Catholic Church in Europe, they savaged and they pummeled Africa to get the diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about an establishment that has over $100 billion in the bank. We're not talking about the gold that they have that they got from Africa. $100 billion.
Yeah.
So and don't get me on a doctrine. I mean, if we were just talking, having a conversation between us, I'll break it down to you, but not on air. I won't do it on air. But when we get done, we'll get together and I'll tell you why this happens. But the priests. I'll say like this, now let me say this. You have pedophiles and predators in every denomination. You got them on the Protestant side. You got them on the Catholic side. And if a pastor who has all rights of a priest helps touches a child, 9 times out of 10, if they are not called out, they may be moved. Move them to another city. But don't nobody know them and let them start all over and tell them that they and slap them on the wrist and tell them they better not do it. I've heard that happen a lot. Happening even in the Protestant movement. Pastors have been caught up with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the other side of it. That the pastors and who we are supposed to, anybody that we hire, we're supposed to do a thorough background check on them. Some pastors will be lazy about the background checks, hire somebody in to be over the children, not knowing that this person is a pedophile, and he touches and rapes the children in the church.
Yeah.
Wow.
It has happened. And I just say that to say not to give the church a black eye because it is my greatest love, but speaking realistically, it has happened. And with that happening, we have to be more vigilant, like I spoke about, and sober-minded when it comes to the things of Satan, because Satan is trying to destroy the children. If he can get the children,
trying to kill
we have our,
yep.
our hope is lost.
Yeah.
So we have to be more vigilant in who we let into our pulpits, more vigilant who we let into our churches, more vigilant who we call priests and who we call pastors, and who we have to be more vigilant and making sure that these people are who they say that they are, because I don't care if you can get up and hoop and holler, scream and shout, dance and do a jig. If I go downstairs and I see you talking and kissing all up on pinching behind one of them little girls, I'm going to call you out. I have an issue with that.
Instead
of just saying, oh, you know, that's my priest and I trust him. No, we all fall under the subjection of sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we're all under the law. Every single one of us. And I believe that is the problem in this. We put the people, the pastors and the priests, above the law. We put them above reproach.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
That's terrifying. That is terrifying, because this the way this report reads, I mean, it's one thing, you know, if you're a pedophile. But some of this stuff I'm reading here is sacrilege. You know, I'm talking about a group of at least four predator priests in Pittsburgh groomed and violently sexually assaulted young boys. One boy was forced to stand on a bed in a rectory, stripped naked, and posed as Christ on a cross for the priests.
What?
They took photos of their victim, adding them to a collection of child pornography, which they produced and shared on church grounds. To make it easier to target their victims, the priests gave their favorite boys gifts, gold crosses, to wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse.
Oh, my God.
So you
excuse
know
how me. I have my hand up. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Where is the kid's parents at? Where is these kids' parents at? See, because that's the kind of thing that Child Protective Services needs to be pulling up a chair and having a seat in that ass. You got people out here struggling, trying to take care of kids, and they make wrong decisions or bad decisions, and CPS is on the Johnny on the spot like FBI pulling those kids from the home. But then these parents, knowing that their child or have an indication or don't know that this is happening, Child Protective Services, when it comes to these kids being abused.
Well, in order to get Child Protective Services involved, the kids have to say something. Somebody has to identify that a child was abused. These kids were groomed. They're not seeing anything. They're waiting until they get older and then come out with these tell-all situations.
And here's the other sick part about it is that they may tell their parents, and their parents do not believe them.
Yep.
Yeah, that happens.
Yep.
Because the parents say that this is the priest. This is he governs our soul. He wouldn't dare do that. You're lying. And this child is saying, Mom or Daddy, I'm coming to you telling you what's going on and you're not believing me. Then what is the child going to do? Just pretty much eat it in their minds, keep it there, and wait until they're able to speak about it for themselves and nobody can tell them that it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Then that's when other people began to come out and say, yes, he did it to me too. And then the parents sit back and say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't think that that would happen, because I was always told that if there's anything I jump on, I can always run to the church. And granted, you're supposed to be able to. But again, sometimes we have wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay? And if your child comes to you and tell you that something is not right, you better believe that child. You better go and do an investigation on every foot to make sure that somebody that this child is not lying. You better make sure. Because all that's going to happen is this child is going to grow up to hate you. Because you did not do your job in protecting them.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
I'm just thinking.
I got one story. my story is a news story. This in Maryland, University of Maryland football team. One of the football players was only 19 years old, died on the football field during practice. There's a cover up behind the scenes with this the athletic director. They said he already knew about it. The head coach. And they already let the strength and conditioning coach resign. I heard the parents, I think, on one of them TV stations, and I've been following this story, they said they want their head coach out of there because they didn't have no proper control of watching the players practice in the heat. Because only 19 years old. 19.
Wow.
And I'll go one step further. And these high schools across the country, like the big one down in Texas, I've been reading stories about 15-year-olds dying on the football field during high school football games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the one about the Maryland, I think it's going to be a big fallout, just like the situation in Ohio State, one way or another. It's sad.
Yeah, because there, from what I remember reading the other day, a year before this young man died, Maryland president, there was a plan. It was a plan on the table, if I recall, for an overhaul of all the athletes' health care. You see what I'm saying? You know, like they were going to cover them, give them good health care, and the president nixed it. He just threw away. Said, we ain't going to do it. So because of this kind of stuff has been known, we got to remember, climate change is real. It's hotter than it's ever been in certain parts. So these guys are out there banging and running into each other. And you know, from what I remember, you know, this program here for these athletes, they were called, some people called it toxic. You know what I mean? So the point is this could have been prevented, and it didn't, because a lot of people just didn't give a shit about these kids. Let's just be honest.
Everybody needs to be fired from the top on down. Everybody.
Well,
amen.
I think this should be criminal. This should be a criminal investigation.
I think the parents, I think they should sue the school. Sue the school. Because there ain't no way you send your son to play football, and you mean tell me he dies on a football? He dies on a football field, and they want to cover it up. I have a problem with that.
Yep, that's crazy.
And I felt bad for them parents. I really did.
Wow.
Well, you know, the covering up of murder and bad and negative acts in this world is nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time, and you know, until the people make a stand and fully put those behind bars who are doing the cover up, it's going to continue to happen. And you know, it's sad but true. You know, just like the young boy, I don't remember where he was from, the young basketball player that was at the school, and then he ended up they found him what wrapped up in a carpet.
Mm.
You know, and dead, and they don't know. Nobody knows what happened, and it was a cover up.
Yeah,
it was a cover up. You know, there was a soldier, a young lady who the government deemed her in Afghanistan. They deemed her death a suicide, but she had her teeth was knocked out. She had black eyes. She had she was anally and and vaginally raped, but they deemed her death a suicide.
Mm.
I mean, you know, is the cover up is real? It happens. We just spoke about what happens in the church. So, and as I gave you two examples of what happened in the world, so it's you know it's everywhere. You know,
it really is.
But eventually, we as the people have to decide. Okay, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We're tired of our children being killed in this cover-up. We're tired of our young adults being killed in this cover-up. We're tired of just seeing it, period. So when we decide to make this stand, that's when things will change.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of making a stand, I don't know if you guys caught the viral video that was going around a lot last week of the Baltimore City police officer who just,
yes, I saw it.
Who
I saw it.
Throwing hooks, jabs, uppercuts, everything he could at this one guy who was mouthing back, and he just start throwing punches, start beating up on the guy.
Beating the brakes
he
off.
He clicked
of
off. He clicked off.
Yeah.
Didn't he? I seen him. He clicked off. Forgot
yeah.
he was in his uniform.
yeah,
funny.
Well, he guess what? His name is Arthur Williams. And he will face several charges after being caught brutally attacking a man in a viral video. The incident has once again opened up the controversy, underlining the police department's treatment of the city's black residents, even by black cops.
And you know what? Listen, before you finish with the story, I disagree with that because he beat this black kid up. Right, like your uncle would do, right, in the back of the yard at the barbecue. But we're talking about you can't compare that to white cops killing black kids.
There's an ongoing story. When you go look up Baltimore City police officer issues, you'll see what they're talking about. Whole entire department is just screwed up. They're, like, literally beating the crap out of black people and sometimes killing them. But the point is they even got black cops going into the hood beating the crap out of people and sometimes killing them. So it's not a black or white thing. That whole department is just corrupt. And a state attorney had to come in and step over toes to get this done because guess what? The city attorney wasn't going to do anything. District attorney wasn't going to do it, so the state attorney had to jump in. So, you know, it's that whole...
Then what are they going to do?
He's been charged. He's going to go to court and fight for his life. You know,
oh, and you know what's
going
to happen to him.
Oh yeah,
you already know they're gonna make a statement. They're gonna make a statement out of him because of all the white cops that they didn't get, or they'll make one out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's my point.
Double standard.
And he got first degree, second degree assault and misconduct in office. They put a warrant out for him. I mean, come on, man. It was just a mess. You know, he's a 26-year-old kid. Like, come on.
And,
what was
and
his reason?
Be prepared for the family gets a civil lawsuit out of this.
Baltimore
is going to probably be bankrupt again.
No, I think Baltimore is one of them cities that put caps on these things. You can only get so much.
Do they say why he did it? What was his reasoning?
None given. I mean, when you watch the video, you see the guy was, you know, trying to speak up for himself. And
okay.
little suckers just start taking off on him.
Mm.
You know, and the worst part is, it's the second time.
Wait, Wait, and none of his coworkers stopped him.
No.
Nah,
officers standing there, and they didn't stop their coworker.
Nope.
Didn't one of them try? They should be held liable.
Yeah, you got one. No, they ain't gonna be liable. They didn't put their hands on the guy.
It's
usually their train. Okay, let me just step back because I don't want to be caught up. But and when he goes too far, let me grab him. One of them did try. And what makes it worse, this is his second run-in with this kid. You know, and the kid did not fight back. You know, and the kid has a fractured jaw and ribs, swelling around his eye, ringing his ears, and he wasn't even charged. You did all of that, and the kid didn't even go to jail. So whatever you arrested, they didn't have to arrest the guy if you beat the crap out of him. So, you know. But, I mean, and Darius, you're absolutely right. The commissioner himself is coming out against this guy. They're going to make an example out of him. So whatever beef you have with this 26, maybe he running around with your girlfriend or your wife or something. Maybe that's what it is. But the way he beat this kid, it's clearly some malice intent. And they found out that this is like the second time he's ran down on this kid.
Wow.
He's going.
Baltimore don't be a nurse, Cincinnati.
He's going, man. So. We got 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
A cop in jail is not good.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they call that big booty.
Mm-hmm.
That's pork booty right there. Young boys going to
They wait for them.
Get him some ribs, some pork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They wait for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. It's just that's sad.
Yeah.
But I would love to know why he, you know, if this has been an ongoing thing, like what has this boy done to him to force him to want to do that? Now, we all know that, you know, a lot of times these cops, I'll say there's always three sides to a story, his side, the young man's side, and the truth. You know, and we never know what happened, what led up to this, but we know that something happened. And, you know, whether the young man was right or wrong, he didn't deserve to get treated like that.
Man.
You know, he didn't deserve that.
Yeah, there's definitely beef. According to reports, Williams, who was the young guy that got beat up, has also had previous encounters with McGreer since last June. McGreer's attorney, Warren Brown, claims Williams has taunted and harassed his client for months. So the cop has been stalking this kid and harassing him, and I'm telling you, you know what it is. There's something personal there.
Right.
You know, or either there's a shakedown going on.
There's a woman behind that. There's a woman behind that.
Is either
that.
A woman or money? Is either
or,
a woman or money?
Or a dude. These days, might be a dude.
Or, it might be a dude, or it might be the drug game, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because when we see stuff like that in the hood, that's a cop shaking you down.
Mm-hmm.
With everybody else outside, it looks like, okay, damn, the police are bruised. Nah, he know you out here pumping, so he going to run. Look, you going to run them pockets every week like I tell you, or I'm going to come out here and give you the business.
Mm-hmm. Where my money
this
at?
Time somebody gonna
That's
finish.
It.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you to have my money by 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
That's it right there. Because you just because they cops, just like these priests, just because they wear the collars don't mean that they are holier than thou or protectors of the and peacemakers.
Yep. All right, guys, we're down to 5 seconds. It's been another great show.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
We'll just begin
Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, guys, everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Good night.
God bless. Good night. God bless.